Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
The Athletic.
Good morning, welcome to the Daily Football Briefing from The Athletic. It's Thursday the 25th of April. I'm Michael Bailey and on today's show... Liverpool lose the derby and their title hopes.
Dominic Calvert-Lewin puts a nail in the coffin of Liverpool's title hopes.
As the Slot plot thickens.
Slot is very enthusiastic about the prospect of taking over from Klopp.
And which manager isn't going anywhere?
Barcelona at least know who's going to be the face of their new project.
This is the Daily Football Briefing with Michael Bailey.
What a night of football it was. Let's bring you up to speed. Starting with the Premier League, where there was a miracle on Merseyside as Everton beat their City rivals.
Time and again, Everton are winning those first balls. This is Harrison. Godfrey! Blocked again by Robertson. Brathwaite! Allison! It's in! Calvert-Lewin's got a leap. Great header! Dominic Calvert-Lewin puts a nail in the coffin of Liverpool's title hopes.
Jarrod Branthwaite and Dominic Calvert-Lewin sealed the 2-0 win at Goodison Park. We'll talk more about Liverpool shortly, but this is Everton's moment. A memorable night that all but secures their Premier League survival, providing there are no more surprise points deductions and the like. Here's our Toffees correspondent, Paddy Boyland.
I'm pitchside at Goodison Park after a massive Merseyside derby win for Everton, their first since 2010 against Liverpool. On that day, Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta was in the starting lineup and scored. I'm pretty sure he'll have been happy with how tonight's game went from an Arsenal perspective, given the title race. A result that surely ends Liverpool's hopes of winning the league. And a seismic result for Everton in the race to beat the drop. They're now 8 points clear of Luton Town in the final relegation spot, with four matches left to play. Towering performances from Dominic Calvert-Lewin, the scorer of Everton's second goal. He rolled back the years and looked much more like the Dominic Calvert-Lewin of old. Jordan Pickford, Jarrod Branthwaite also excellent in keeping Liverpool at bay, and the atmosphere was amazing tonight. This was Goodison at its very, very best. The players gave the fans something to shout about, and an amazing victory for Everton, who now hopefully have secured the Premier League survival.
Elsewhere in the Premier League and at Old Trafford, it looked like we could get a shock, or maybe more a laugh, depending on your level of schadenfreude.
Vogel is onto this! And it's put it away! And against the run of play, Sheffield United take the lead through Jadon Bogle after a horrible howler from Onana.
In fact, Sheffield United led twice, but eventually Erik ten Hag's men remembered their Manchester United and they're meant to be better than that.
Bruno Fernandes.
Two goals in the final 10 minutes earned them a 4-2 win. They're now sixth in the table, and they've even got a positive goal difference of +1. As for Sheffield United, they can be relegated at the weekend when they travel to Newcastle. They've also claimed the record for the most goals conceded in a 38-game Premier League season, which is impressive, As we've only played 34 matches, they're sat on 92 goals. Can they top Swindon's all-time high of 100? Probably. The team United overtook in the table was Newcastle, who lost 2-0 at an improving Crystal Palace, while Bournemouth are into the top half with a 1-0 win at Wolves, despite playing the final 10 minutes with 10 men. Moving into Europe, Kylian Mbappe once again proved he's just a little bit special.
Oh, Mbappe, how about that? That's brilliant from Mbappe. Absolutely astounding. Dembele scores, but Mbappe there, utter genius.
Absolutely magnificent.
That was Ousmane Dembele's second, set up exquisitely by Mbappe. Go find it if you've not already seen it. A 4-1 victory for Paris Saint-Germain at Lorient could have sealed the Ligue 1 title for Luis Enrique's side had Monaco lost later last night. But Youssef Fofana's strike earned a 1-0 win at home to Lille and delayed those PSG celebrations for at least a few days. Finally, Atalanta are in the Coppa Italia final after thrashing 10-man Fiorentina 4-1 to win 4-2 on aggregate. That books them a date with Juventus.
You're listening to the Daily Football Briefing from The Athletic.
Let's return to those events on Merseyside, where, in the words of Jamie Carragher on Sky, we all saw the end of the title run for Liverpool, and all on the day with some movement on their new manager search. Our Reds correspondent James Pearce joins us now from Goodison Park. James, first question, what went wrong?
Where do you start? I mean, there was so much wrong with that Liverpool performance. I think, you know, they just completely and utterly played into Everton's hands, but with yet another sluggish start, which has been a feature of the season. And of course, so many times previously, they've managed to stage fight backs and salvage wins from losing positions, but not tonight. This is a team that appears to have completely run out of gas. It's run out of belief. I think you can see that in the final third, where they're just suddenly absolutely toothless. You look at the crisis of confidence that Darwin Nunez and Mohamed Salah are having currently, you know, more glorious chances squandered. Luis Diaz, the only Liverpool attacker to really offer anything against Everton. And at the other end, they look horribly vulnerable and they got bullied by Everton. You know, what you don't do against Everton is you don't give away stupid free kicks. You don't allow them to showcase that threat from set pieces. But Liverpool just, you know, were masters of their own downfall, and, you know, absolutely dreadful defending for both goals as well. So, a thoroughly miserable night, and Everton thoroughly deserved their first derby triumph at Goodison for nearly 14 years.
Realistically, is that it for Liverpool's title hopes? And what did Jurgen Klopp have to say?
It certainly feels like the end of Liverpool's involvement in the title race. I think when you look at it, what is it? You know, Arsenal 3 points ahead of them with a much superior goal difference, only 4 games to go. Then you've got Manchester City only 1 point behind Liverpool, and they've got 2 games in hand. So, you know, I think Klopp probably summed it up right when he said, you know, to have any hope whatsoever, Liverpool are going to need a crisis at both Arsenal and Manchester City, was the way he described it. And I just don't think that is realistic. And the other biggest thing is, at the moment, I can't see Liverpool winning their 4 remaining matches. I mean, Klopp was pretty downbeat afterwards. You know, he issued an apology to the fans for the performance. He said it just wasn't good enough, didn't pull any punches. And, you know, he admitted himself that he's got a real big job on his hands lifting morale, because, you know, Liverpool are back in action Saturday lunchtime, you know, the kickoff slot that Klopp dislikes so much at West Ham. And Klopp said himself, you know, they will be absolutely licking their lips having watched Liverpool tonight. So unless there's a drastic improvement, yeah, you know, Liverpool's Champions League status isn't mathematically secure yet. And that now realistically is the main thing, rather than, I think, dreaming of the title, because that's gone.
As for the longer term future, there's also been some movement on Liverpool's pursuit of Feyenoord boss Arne Slot as Klopp's replacement this summer. What's the latest, James?
Well, the latest is that Liverpool remain in negotiations with Feyenoord over a compensation package for their manager Arne Slot. As we've reported, Liverpool's initial offer of around €9 million was rejected. We understand that Feyenoord have been holding out for a figure much close to about €15 million. Slot still has 2 years left on his contract, no release clause, and of course, you know, they don't want to lose him. But, you know, what we do know is that Slot is very enthusiastic about the prospect of taking over from Klopp at Liverpool. It's a challenge that he wants to take on. So, yeah, I think the expectation is that a compromise can and will be reached. But, yeah, obviously there's other big questions to answer once that has been done in terms of what other staff members come with Slot from Feyenoord to Liverpool. Because, of course, it's not just Klopp who's leaving this summer. It's pretty much all of his backroom staff. So there's a lot of gaps to fill.
Thanks, James. The managerial merry-go-round also made an impression in Germany, where current Austria boss Ralf Rangnick confirmed he has spoken to Bayern Munich about taking over once Thomas Tuchel departs at the end of the season. The former Manchester United interim manager says he's still weighing up his options. However, one club search for a new manager this summer is definitely over, and that's because their departing boss has changed his mind. Less of a merry-go-round and more of a merry stay put then. 3 months after Xavi said he would leave Barcelona at the end of the season, the Spaniard has changed his mind and is now keeping calm and carrying on. Our Barcelona reporter Paul Balús joins us now from Catalunya. Paul, this is quite the turnaround. How did this play out?
It's difficult to explain how all this happened, but basically this was decided on Wednesday night after an emergency meeting at Joan Laporta's personal home. And they finally decided that Xavi will fulfill his contract, that he will stay next season at the club. The good thing is that Barcelona at least know who's going to be the face of their new project. They can start planning, they can start working on the following season. Joan Laporta, he's expected to explain in which terms is Xavi staying in the club. But yeah, it feels that on the one hand, Barcelona know who's going to be their next manager. And on the other hand, Xavi's position is a bit more damaged than you could expect, because everyone knows that there were people inside the club who wanted him out despite him making a U-turn on his mind and wanting to stay at the club at the start of this week.
And how will the supporters feel about this?
I would say that the opinion was quite divided. In the city, probably a lot of people thought that Xavi, he was a good man for the club, but in general, it was a bit 50-50. So let's see how it goes. I don't think that Xavi has the most easy spectrum to work with from now on, but at least it's something that Barcelona know now that they will have.
Well, he's cried wolf once now, so he can't keep saying he's going to leave. But I'm interested there. I mean, did Barcelona get close to lining anyone up as Xavi's replacement?
The situation of Laporta and the board trying to convince Xavi to stay came from Barcelona making a first search on what was available on the transfer market in terms of managers, and they found no ideal candidate in there. So they basically thought, okay, if we cannot find the best replacement, possibly the best chance that we have here is try to convince Xavi to stay. This school of thought was reinforced after Xavi was on a 13-match unbeaten run. I think that it's more of a reason of Xavi is a quick fix. He's a man that will do the job for one more year and then we'll see what happens, because on the horizon, a lot of people in the board knows that in 2025, there's top managers who arrive to the end of their contract. And I'm talking about Luis Enrique, who is highly admired among the board. And then other names, which are more of a dream option, such as Pep Guardiola or Mikel Arteta. But yeah, let's see what happens. But what we know is that next season, Xavi's going to be the manager.
Thanks, Paul. And there's an increasing chance either Xavi or the next Barcelona manager will take to the dugout in the US. That's because La Liga president Javier Tebas has reiterated the aim for matches to be played in the United States from the 2025-26 season. There could be another significant change to the Premier League on the way. Our correspondent Matt Slater exclusively revealed that clubs are set to vote on Monday over imposing a cap on how much they can spend on their squads. The caps would use something called anchoring, which just means the limits would be calculated in multiples of the Premier League club with the lowest earnings from TV revenue and commercial deals. The rules will be discussed by clubs at a meeting today and could come in for the 2025-26 season. As for the current campaign, the fun continues tonight when it's Manchester City's turn to prove they still want to win the title. They head to Brighton, where they'll be without injured Erling Haaland, although Phil Foden should be fit to feature. You can watch that one from 8 p.m. in the UK on Sky Sports or 3 p.m. Eastern on USA Network. Also tonight, Udinese and Roma will resume their Serie A clash. The original fixture was abandoned on the 71st minute 10 days ago after Roma's Evan Ndicka went to ground clutching his chest. The score was 1-1 at the time. You can watch the rest of the game play out from 7 p.m. on TNT Sports in the UK. That's 2 p.m. Eastern on Paramount+. And that's all for today's Daily Football Briefing. I've been Michael Bailey. Your producers were Abby Patterson and Mike Zimmerman, with Ian McIntosh upon the executive producer throne. We'll be back for you tomorrow. In the meantime, have a cracking Thursday.
The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.